This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Thanks for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show, and there is a lot going on. Of course, the Masters is happening in Augusta. We are keeping you updated literally hour by hour as things continue to change on the leaderboard, and we will get you caught up, of course, this hour as well. Coming up, Grant McCauley is going to join us in about 30 minutes. We will talk more about our Braves. Last night, they come up short. Today, tonight, should I say, is the final game of this series with the Phillies, Mike. And, you know, last night was one of those situations where Grant Holmes, again, didn't pitch terrible, but when you get your pitch count up, you walk guys, you put guys on base, Mike, that comes back to bite you.
Yeah, we've seen that with A.J. Smith-Shawver, and like we don't have a great bullpen. It's going to be a little inconsistent, I guess, is the best way to describe it right now. And Raisel Iglesias, we had the debate about, you know, not having that overpowering stuff or having the big, you know, sort of out pitch you can really blow by batters. It's not really his repertoire. So last night, Austin Riley ties the game, and then unfortunately Iglesias can't hold it down, and you're going to continue to tax, maybe not, you know, this week or next week, but you can't get starters to get into the sixth inning.
Right.
Your bullpen every night's got to keep doing this. So, and ironically, Chris Sale hasn't been as sharp as we'd expect him to be, but you got to win this one because losing two out of three from the Phillies, the good news is we're going to talk about in a second getting some guys back in this rotation and in this lineup, but man, still, Carl, to be this bad 3 weeks into the season? Yikes.
It's a problem. So we got to find a way tonight. More on that with Grant coming up. Also, guys, we have continued to talk about the draft and what's been going on. And, Mike, as we talk about one particular guy, and by the way, I think you said this to me. We were talking about, you know, the dogs at 4 o'clock and kind of talking about spring ball recruiting and all the things that are going on, G-Day game this Saturday. And you were talking about, you know, guys coming into the league and – who's ready? Here's the thing, and I'm only saying this because part of the discussion, and it's not Mike and I, this is something that people are talking about that are draft pundits and people who, you know, do this every day, and that is the production level of the dogs that we expect to be drafted high, right? How many guys do you expect to be in the first round? What's the estimation? 4? We're not even including the offensive linemen, guys. Right. They have arguably the second or the first best center in this draft. We hadn't even discussed him, Mike. We've been focused on the defensive guys.
And I know that and I just mentioned Mel Kiper. He had 3 dogs going in the first round. I think it was Carolina for Jalen Walker, and then it was the Green Bay Packers, 23 for Michael Williams, and if memory serves, wherever the Ravens are, 27 or 28 for the Ravens. So 3 guys in the first round, still nothing to sneeze at, and we'll see how many total dogs go in the draft because it's funny. You don't really think of this year's offensive line, especially after that Sugar Bowl loss, as being elite, but they're going to put guys in the league.
Yeah, Tate Ratledge is going to be, you know, another guy that's drafted. Here's the thing, though. Drafting Michael Williams, and Williams has all the measurables. He's got everything you want, okay? When you start talking about, hey, this is what I need in my edge guy. But if we stay at 15, and there is a chance he could be there. Some people, depending on what drafts you look at, you know, as far as position rank, this is like, where is he ranked? Abdul Carter is number one on everybody's list as far as edge, okay? Meaning if you get a chance to get him, that's going to be the first guy off the board. But Michael's ranked, Mike, depending on what you look, 4th or 5th. if you're the fourth or fifth best edge rusher in your class, or at least ranking-wise, that means more likely he's going to be there. And the point I'm getting to is, even with the measurables and all the thing that looks good, I said this to Mike, what if they have somebody graded better than Mikel and decide to go with him? Are you going to have an issue with the bias of they don't take Georgia players?
No, I mean, as much as we've talked about it, look, I think the time and place to take Georgia players has been the last 10 years. You know, I mean, last 25 years. Hell, for the Falcons, the last 50 years. But now, this is one where, I mean, you don't, you know, do it just to say, hey, we drafted a Georgia
That's
player.
Right.
Now, we've drafted Georgia players, but they're always in the sixth round, the seventh round. Sometimes they don't make the team. You know what I mean? Like, the highest drafted player from Georgia, I talked about this a few weeks ago. It was like a middle, it's like a linebacker, middle of the road, third round.
Right.
So it's just, you don't really see them doing that, and you don't do it just to do it. But unless you feel Mikel Williams is a perfect fit for your version of what this 3-4, this, you know, this Ulbrich version of Dan Quinn's defense is going to look like.
Yeah, see, that's how I feel, and that's not being biased.
He might be a better fit than Pierce from Tennessee or Mike Green from Marshall.
Correct, but what if Shamar Stewart on their board is higher than Mike Green and Mikel, and they're both sitting there?
Right.
So I think we've got to temper that a little bit and say, yes, it'd be great if it makes sense, and this is the best guy. I just don't think we can get caught up in saying these guys are the best guys because they played at Georgia necessarily. And I know that's saying a lot because we've seen other dogs go elsewhere, Philly, and have great success. But I'm curious about this because everybody says, oh, you know, and they do. Jalen, I think, is going to be gone, okay? I think he's number two on the board for most teams. When you talk about edge rushers, Abdul will be top five. Right. Jalen's going to be the next edge rusher I think is gone. And then we start talking about Shamar, Mike Green, and Mikel. And if all three are there between 11 and 15, Mike, and you love one of these dudes, we've been saying it. I've been saying it. Go get them. But I cannot get caught up in saying we got to draft a dog. James Pierce, guys, may be a real ball player.
Right.
Now, the problems that we've heard about or whatever, what if you say, guess what, talent overwhelms, Mike. This guy is too talented for us to not take a chance on him. And I'm just throwing names out there that maybe you're familiar with, but these are names that we will hear on draft night, specifically in the first round, I think. But he's ranked right now like the fifth or sixth best edge rusher.
Right. Now, again, and whether or not you feel that all the interest in an offensive tackle was just simply a smokescreen because there are projections for offensive tackles to go anywhere between 10 and 20, and maybe we're just kicking the tires to create a sense of, you know, interest or urgency for maybe someone to trade with us. I don't know. Or, you know, maybe we do take an offensive tackle, which will freak people out. But you could also argue protecting Michael Penix Jr., regardless of us getting the quarterback on the ground, if you can't protect his blind side, we're dead in the water because this team's going to have to score four touchdowns a game for this defense to be survivable anyway.
Mr. Yo hits us up.
Yo!
Avid listener. And he says, Dukes, man, I keep talking about, you know, this guy we discussed. He's awesome. He is the Georgia center. He's ranked as one of the best. I think he's the second best center ranking-wise, if you, you know, depending, again, who you talk to. Jared Wilson is his name. And he says to me, Dukes, you keep saying no, no, no. No, I keep saying no to the first pick.
No, second round.
You're not taking Jared Wilson at 15. That is my no. It is not that I disagree with, hey, if you want to go center and you want to retool this offensive line and you feel like you need to upgrade. Mike's been saying it. Hey, do you feel like you have the guys to protect Michael Penix?
Right.
So I'm not saying
centers
no.
Generally don't go in the first round as it is.
No, and I don't care how dynamic they are. So it's not that Jared Wilson can't play. He's great. I can't take him with the fifth pick. That's my issue.
No, if you want to trade down to the end of the first round and take a center and you feel this guy's going to be the bedrock like an Alex Mack type because you like what you have with Neusel, but this guy comes out of the box. But again, I know he grades out, but what was he doing at Georgia? What was he doing against Ole Miss? What was he doing against Notre Dame? I mean, under the entire line struggle, I'm just saying.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, like, again, all these guys.
6'3", 310, checks all the boxes.
Yeah, there's a kid, I think, out of North Dakota, Mike. Gary Zabel, I think, is his name. And the draft pundits have been talking about him. The kid, Drew Kendall is his name, out of Boston College, I believe. He's another kid that's ranked high as center. But Jared Wilson, he's 1, 2, or 3. So either way, you know, but I don't think that's what we're doing, guys. I'm just being honest with you.
I mean, you could take a flyer on guys, the kid from Ohio State. A lot of the mock drafts I do, Seth McLaughlin is there from Ohio State. Pretty good size. Maury Smith from FSU would be there later rounds. Maybe if we have a six-round pick or we move up to get
one. That's the other thing. With limited picks, that means you have to be on point. If you're telling me we're staying with first, second, fourth, and 2 sevens, we got to be on point. I don't think we keep the sevens. That's another thing. I mean, everybody just is like, oh, we got two sevens. I don't think we keep them, but we'll see draft night.
It depends. As I said, you guys look at all these draft valuations, and I'm looking right now at Walter Football. Okay, they you just mentioned the kid from North Dakota. They've got Zabel, I should say, at one, McLaughlin two, and they've got Jared Wilson three.
Yes, that's one, two, or three. So either way, I'm just saying, like, it depends on who you talk
or
to.
Or they like Neusel, and we'll just take a flyer on a center later in the draft, and maybe that's where they roll.
Look, I if we take a center, then you're telling me you wholeheartedly, as a staff and as an organization, trust everything about last year's class. That's what you're telling me. And I don't know if we are in that position, Mike, to say, you know what, these guys played enough and I feel good about them. I don't know if they're in that position. They feel good about them, but I don't know if they played enough for that we, as a fan base, go, yeah, you know what, we can go ahead and draft a center. You draft a center if we knew all these guys and Trice and all these other guys that we've been talking about can play. We don't know that.
No, again, as we said, generally centers don't go in the first round, but Daniel Jeremiah, to your point, has Zabel going to the Cardinals.
Yes.
So, I mean, that would be 16. That's right after us. So, now again, we don't really – they haven't said much about Neusel. When they had the first right of refusal, no one came at him. So his deal, he was making less than $1 million, so he goes up to maybe three or whatever it is. But it haven't been a lot of buzz. So I don't know if center is on the radar, but – whether how or what the priority is for center, as you said, whether they take a flyer late or commit a big time draft equity early in the draft, like second round.
But understand this about, and while we're talking centers, and I don't even know how we got here. Oh, Mr. Yo, Zabel is a guy that's out of North Dakota State. He's not out of the SEC. And my point is,
but he's perfect for us because we love guys from the Montanas and North Dakota.
No, Mike, I'm saying that this idea that all the best players, this guy's ranked number one at his position, and he went to North Dakota State. Now, he's a big dude. He's 6'6", 315 or whatever. But the fact is, this is not an SEC guy. But yet, here he is on the board, and Mike's telling you that, you know, one of the guys that we trust a lot, and Daniel Jeremiah, is like, hey, Cardinals might take him in the first round. He's talented. He's big. Obviously, he's shown them that he can do the job, and he's got all the intangibles.
Percentage-wise, like 20%, 30%, your percentage, 5-to-1 odds, 10-to-1 odds, we're going to go offensive line in the first round?
Small percentage, yes.
We started the conversation talking about protecting Penix Jr.'s blind side. You know, no one wants to say Caleb McGarry's not that good, but, I mean, he's good going forward. He's not as great going backwards. We know that. So I don't eliminate that as a possibility. I'm just saying. We've covered every single angle. Thanks to the Falcons, by the way, for bringing NFA burgers today.
Yeah, thank you guys, by the way.
Good guys. And I told Bassett, it's not going to change my opinion on what you do on draft night, but it was a great burger.
No,
but anyway,
it was great.
But as far as the options, I think edge rush, but you and I have discussed it at length. They may believe in the guys that we just haven't seen yet.
Oh, they do. I believe they do. I think, again, the problem there is, though, that do you believe in them enough that you don't get more reinforcements? You can never have enough dudes that play those positions in the NFL. Injuries, all kind of craziness happens.
And if you got Mike Green as, like, the best athlete available at 16, you take him.
Reinforcements.
15, I should say, you take him.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're coming back. We got plenty more to dive
big
into.
Big news at the Masters, man.
Yeah, man. Well, look. Is it big news that the guys we expected to be here are actually here? I don't know. I mean, like, when we went into this, we said Rory was playing great. Today he is. We'll explain coming back.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Been a busy day at the Masters in Augusta. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, Mike, we got to give an update on the leaderboard, but you said it. Like, is it a surprise? Are we surprised at who's atop the leaderboard?
Well, if you had Justin Rose in your Calcutta, you've got to talk just like this when you do Masters updates if you're just getting in your car, live from Augusta. It is Justin Rose who has birdied 15. Actually, he birdied 15, and then he birdied 16. Carl parred 17. He's at 8 under. So Justin Rose has got 4 strokes over Connors from Canada and your boy Scottie Scheffler, who did par, had a nice birdie look at 18. He's at 4 under. Rory McIlroy at 4 under. He just birdied number 5 in Amen Corner. So Rory looking to make a run and get close to Justin Rose, leading at 8 under. At the other end of the scoreboard, the big galoot from Spain has completely crapped the bed. We're talking meltdown. We're talking that big galoot nearly broke a driver.
He did. We're talking about Jon Rahm, guys. And when you are not hitting the ball the way you want, okay, you weekend warriors out there, I know you get mad, but he's a professional. He got so upset he kicked the club behind him and then almost broke his driver. So not the way Rahm wants to start. Hey, Mike, he knows this. You know, we talk about this. You can't win the Masters on Thursday,
yes,
but you can lose it.
Carl, you're right. You said it. Jon Rahm, ever since he took that Saudi blood money, his career has been a shambles. So they try to sports wash their way through major sports, not working for Jon Rahm. Wouldn't that be great if he actually talked like that? You know, Jon Rahm, let's go to Mike in the Tower at 15. Yeah, since he took that Saudi blood money, he really is a hot mess. Hard questions about the loot from Liv has really gotten inside that big galoot's head. He is hot garbage out there today. Back to you at 18, Jim.
Yeah, look, give it back and get back on tour. Like, what, I'm with you. I think his whole demeanor has changed since, yes, he made the move.
Meanwhile, tough day for one of our favorite golfers, Hideki Matsuyama. He played it by the numbers, Carl. He had a good distance and a good look at his third shot at 15. He hits the flagpole, hits the stick, bounces into Ray's Creek. He was so upset, he pulled out his wedge and committed seppuku,
okay,
right there
that is
at
not
Amen
that,
Corner.
That is not true. He did,
yes,
not
I saw Shogun.
That.
I know how they do this.
No, this is, he did not do
how
that.
How good was Shogun on FX, by the way?
Really
I
good.
Really enjoyed
really
it.
Good, really
back
good.
Back to you, Jim, in the Tower.
Really good. Here's the other guys that are top the leaderboard. Surprise. Scottie Scheffler. What's going on with Scottie Scheffler?
He's got a shot, man. He did what he's supposed to do on the first day, right?
4 under, and then there is Rory,
right,
who a lot of people said, okay, this might be his time. He's at 4 under. You know what? And I have friends, Mike, and it's not fair. I mean, we haven't seen Justin Rose wet the bed the rest of the weekend yet. He's playing great. But a lot of my friends just hit me up and went, Rose has been unbelievable. Too bad he's going to wet the bed later this weekend.
He is going to crap the bed. I talked about the Calcutta that I did. I thought the good play I had, I went heavy because I went with McIlroy.
Yeah.
You know, some guys, we had Scotty Scheffler, the valuation guys, you got to buy in and everyone wins the kitty. CBS used to do one every year at the tournament. It was legendary, right, with all those guys with Weisskopf and it was Pat Summerall and, you know, all those dudes. Ken Venturi. It was legendary parties. But anyway, I got McIlroy. I got Tyrrell Hatton for like $50.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, and he's, but again, he is he going to take the gat? Now, Justin Rose won the U.S. Open in 2012, but he hasn't won since. He's got, I think twice now, he's been second runner-up at the Masters. So maybe he puts it together this year.
Incredible first day. But yeah, I mean, and again, he's through 17, so he's not done. He's got one more hole left. By the way, the guy I am surprised about, but I love him. Freddie Couples, man, one under.
Dude, at 191 yards out, he hits in number 14 in the hole for an eagle. I got the video up at Mike Bell, ATL. Follow Carl, put him up, C-Dukes. Who doesn't love Freddie Couples? Yeah, man, an eagle on 14, and the crowd goes bananas.
Yeah, Freddie's just, he's that guy that every golfer can talk to. Nobody dislikes Freddie Couples.
And one cool little thing, sidebar from the Masters this weekend, guess who's toting a giant camera around?
Who's that?
One of the greatest baseball players of his generation.
Ken Griffey?
Ken Griffey Jr.
He's
is at the Masters.
For a long time.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. He's got a credential, and he's got one of those official gigantic cameras with a big gigantic telephoto, and he's hoofing the course.
Yeah, it was his hobby, and then it's turned into a profession for him after baseball. Not that he needs it. But Griffey, so backstory, he's a Cowboys fan. He would show up at Cowboys games, and Mike, he had like a Madden bus that he would hang out and tailgate and do stuff. And he, for years, he's been taking these pictures of just crowds and people, and they'd be like, Griff, what are you doing, man? And he'd be like, oh, I just enjoy taking pictures. And now it's turned into this, where he's at major events, and he's taking pictures. He's been doing this a long time, but he's really good. If you've never seen his work, go check it out, man. He's it's interesting because you think about a guy that was had photographers all around him his entire life, and now he's one of the guys taking the pictures.
The story I mentioned earlier in Guy Talk, a lot of folks got upset that amateur Jose Luis Ballester from Arizona State by way of Spain.
Yep.
He has an Arizona State Sun Devils hat with the Sun Devil logo upside down. It's kind of some Dak Prescott's warning. That's not the big deal. Now there's a story that apparently he took a pee in Rays Creek in the middle of the Masters. I would like to think that was beyond camera angle, but somebody dropped a dime on him.
Wow. Well, listen, you're a long way out and no carts coming out there for you.
There's supposed to be a comfort station car behind the tee box at 13, I've been told.
Yeah.
But anyway, he didn't wait for it.
Well, it's like,
you got to go, you got to go.
It's like the guys in an NFL game, if you're not paying attention, who will go to the sideline and you're like, why did they put those towels up? What's going on there?
Right.
And he's using the restroom. So, yeah, man, it happens, but that's crazy. Rays Creek, though?
Well, yeah. I mean,
pick a tree.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen the video, but apparently he was asked about it and said, hey, I had to go, man.
That's crazy. 404-726-0929. That's what's going on at the Masters. By the way, a couple of other guys. What about the other live guys, Mike? What about DeChambeau and like Brooksy? What's going
DeChambeau's,
on there?
Yeah, DeChambeau, he's kind of been like up and down in his typical kind of Herculean. Carl and I were joking around. Every time he goes to swing, I start yelling, Captain Caveman. But if you've not been watching...
He does bring it back.
He does. DeChambeau right now is at one under, but he's kind of been all over the place. He's kind of been bouncing around. I'm trying to get the score because I'm looking at the Masters. They're going the old school, by number, hole by hole.
Did you like Schauffele, by the way, into this thing?
I like Xander, but, you know, but not to win this one.
He's two over.
I didn't have him in that sense. DeChambeau right now, he just birdied number 13 at Amen Corner, the par 5, he's back to two under. So DeChambeau's, and you know he's going to give it a ride on 15.
He's in the mix.
Yeah, DeChambeau's in the mix, man. And I just know that a lot of guys, especially the PGA, you know, the guys from the tour, who is it, Monahan, who runs the tour, they would just love to see some of these live guys, you know, not anybody be on that leaderboard, whether it's Dustin Johnson or a guy like, in this case, see what our boy can do, if DeChambeau can make some moves here in the last five holes.
No doubt. And if he does, by the way, I said this to Mike, this is what you want, right? It is day one. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But if you're telling me, you know, heading to the weekend that Rose and Scheffler, McIlroy, and Jason Day, who's 2 under, DeChambeau, familiarity and big names heading into the weekend. The Masters is loving this. I don't know if it'll stay this way, but like that's good.
A couple guys hit us up. They said, what's Spieth doing? Spieth is 1 over. Justin Thomas is also 1 over.
We didn't believe me. I asked you yesterday, and I'm with you on this. I don't know what's wrong with him. Like, I'm talking about Spieth.
Jordan Spieth.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with him.
I like the dude, but yeah, just you don't see it happening for him. Also, guys, dudes that are out there, we mentioned Fred Couples is actually one under, so that's pretty cool to see. Oberg, who's got his umlaut over his A, he's been really good of late. He's a two under as well. And Jason Day finished a two under, one of the guys we pull for. Love to see him win a major, another major.
All right, guys, we got to get Grant McCauley in here, and we're going to talk to him about the Braves and what's going on tonight. Hopefully they can finish this thing and win a series. But last night hurt because you had opportunities. We're going to talk to Grant coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's funny, Mike and I were just talking about Justin Rose. We'll tell you about it coming up. Stay tuned. Let's talk about Braves because, Grant, man, last night, so many chances. Was there one particular one that stands out to you? I know the bases were loaded twice, but was there one opportunity that you felt, hey, if we came through in that spot, this thing would have went differently?
Well, honestly, those were the two. I mean, you can point to the overall left on base total. We can always talk about runners in scoring position and what the Braves were able to do, but that felt like twice that Austin Riley had that chance to make a big dent in what could have been a different outcome. Now, I will point out that Austin Riley came through later with a game-tying home run, so in terms of leverage opportunities, he delivered a big hit last night. Just unfortunately, you can't pick exactly when you get those, but overall, not being able to get more done against Taijuan Walker, I think that's what I would point to in that loss. I mean, it's disappointing to give up a late home run and lose a game as well, but you kind of have to look at the offense and wonder if they could have gotten that one more big hit if we wouldn't have been talking about a 2-0 series lead and the opportunity to go for a sweep here at Truist Park tonight if the weather is cooperative.
Yeah, I know. Apparently the storms are coming a little bit earlier than we were expecting, I guess, man. I'll take a look at my barometer. We'll get back to you. Grant, we talked about a lot today, Raisel Iglesias, and you know, by any metric or measurement, he was good last year. And again, the blown saves are always going to drive a fan crazy, but they were few and far between. He doesn't really have that, you know, that dominant out pitch. You'd love to have a closer just overpower guy. So you just chalk that up to this too shall pass, or are you worried about Iglesias?
No, I'm not really worried about him. I think his big thing is he's more of a precision guy. I mean, he has a mid-90s fastball. I mean, it's there. It's just, you know, he's not doing what Jose Alvarado does and coming in and throwing 100, 101, and 100 again, over and over and over again. That's not the type of closer he is. He does have a very good slider. I think he's got a nice changeup as well. He just has to really kind of dot the I's and cross the T's, so to speak, when it comes to his pitching style. He's not going to overpower you, but he's got enough in that arsenal that I think he can be effective. And this is just a case of, especially I would say in the early going of the season on that road trip, they couldn't find a time to use him. So I think he will benefit as he goes along from getting back in a more regular regimen. You don't want to be trotting him out there for no reason whatsoever in those first seven games. But I do feel like he just hasn't worked as much early this season, and it's hard to get sharp if you're not getting that regular work because, I mean, look at the Braves' record. How many save opportunities have they truly had?
It's Grant McCauley, guys. We're talking about the Braves, and, you know, listen, tonight's a big night. Let's talk specifically about, you know, the starter in last night's game. I didn't think he was bad. I didn't think Grant was terrible, but when you walk and you start to get your pitch count up, we know that puts extra amount of pressure on you to stay out there. I was saying to Mike when we started the show today, like, if he had done what he did with, I don't know, 60 pitches, 68 pitches, it feels different, right? Maybe he stays out there for two more innings or whatever, but when you get the pitch count up as high as he did, I don't think it gave Stint any choice.
No, but I will also point out that the Phillies fouled off, 23 balls against him yesterday? So were definitely part of that. I thought he got squeezed a couple of times, particularly badly against Schwarber on what should have been a strikeout. I guess that's not being squeezed, but a bad call by the home plate umpire either way. Costs him a couple of extra bullets. That's unnecessary. But I was talking to Grant Holmes before the game today just about, you know, getting back to 100 pitches. That's a nice milestone. He said it is. And then he sat back and said, you know, that's the first time I've thrown 100 pitches in a game since 2016.
Wow.
So that's something worth thinking about as well. I mean, that was from him. I would have to go back to a lot of minor league game logs, and I don't know if we have that info, but it's certainly the first time he's done it at the big leagues because I said, Well, that kind of tracks, because last year when he came into the rotation, it wasn't about 100 pitches or seven innings or any of that stuff. It was more about just how far in the game could you get the club, because they needed somebody to go out and throw a chunk of innings. And he said, yeah, it was just kind of a different mission. Now I want to be throwing 100 pitches every time. So it felt good to do it. He said he felt good afterwards. I think you have a tough lineup that he was still able to limit, which is important. I mean, neither of the starting pitchers were going deep into the game yesterday, and it ended up being, you know, quote unquote, a battle of the bullpens. And I know the Braves, you know, weren't able to win that one, but I think you have to look as much at the offense and the totality of everything. But I think with Grant Holmes, he's in a pretty good spot. He's kind of ramping up and getting himself comfortable with this, you know, truly being a starting pitcher, not the swing man that he was a year ago, where it's, hey, he's in relief today, and in 3 days we're going to have him throw four or five innings. Or, hey, right, we go to the playoffs if in 30 minutes you can beat the New York Mets, which was his biggest start of his career last year. So he's been in a unique spot, but I still like what he has to offer, and I think that he's going to have more efficient outings as he goes ahead.
One of the things, Grant, we know when Acuña comes back is he gets back in that number one spot. And I know it's been weird. The whole team is just not hitting, and Money Harris is no different. He's batting 225, and he's been on base. He's reached first base 10 times. He's got 9 hits. He's got 1 walk. So basically, he's on base 10 times. But he hasn't even tried. I mean, is this more from Snicker or just about the situation? You don't want to take yourself out of the beginning? We're not stealing bases, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, because it being this early in the season, if there really is an answer for that, I mean, part of it could be, are they risk averse and just don't want to risk it? I mean, he did get thrown out trying to steal at least once, I believe, in the Marlins series, right, if I'm not mistaken, yep, in that second game. But it's just been kind of a wonky start for the offense in general, where just, you know, if they were getting their hits with runners on base, we wouldn't really notice it as much. But when you're not, I think it's fair to pretty much pull the whole spreadsheet out and say, okay, this is not happening, this is not happening, and this is not happening, and why? And can you start something on the base paths? I know when I talked to Mike Johnson in the mornings, that's his number one thing is, when are we going to do, you know, put some pressure on some teams? And I said, well, you know, you can do that with Michael Harris. Ronald Acuña Jr. can obviously do it, and Ozzie Albies can. But outside of that, you don't have a bunch of speedsters. I mean, you're not sending, you know, the Matt Olsons and the Sean Murphys and the Drake Baldwins and the likes, you know, to try to steal bases. I guess Jared Kelnick can do it as well, and Eli White's pretty fast, but he's not getting starting, you know, reps right now. So they just don't incorporate that as much as some other teams do, but maybe that changes some with Acuña. But then again, I think we all have to be honest with ourselves and our expectations. Is Ronald going to be as aggressive as he was? Now, he joked about it in spring training, said, I'm always going to want to run, but I got to be smart. And so we'll see what it looks like when he comes back, and we'll see if there's some other opportunities where if things are going and you've got the multitude of hits, maybe you take more chances, I guess, to make a long story as short as
okay.
I can.
Okay. No, it's a valid, you know, point. I think it's worth talking about. Hey, tonight, has Schrellenbach been not only our best pitcher, one of the best in the major leagues?
No doubt. There's no question. And I asked a few of his teammates about what really stands out to him. And Grant Holmes said consistency. I mean, the way that he does everything when he's on the mound, the way that he prepares, the way that he executes, there's a consistency about his game, his arsenal, his mechanics, everything that lends itself to his success. I asked Drake Baldwin, I mean, what's it like to catch a guy like this? And he said it opens up so many avenues for how you attack a hitter, because yes, he has 6 pitches, but he doesn't need to throw all 6 to every hitter and every at bat to try to get a strikeout. It can be more about, okay, now I'm going to look at what this hitter's tendencies are, because they do all that game planning and advanced stuff, and try to figure out the best way to go about it. But I feel like, just in general, is the uniqueness of it, and that third or fourth time through the order, as the case may be, he's got a way to show a hitter a completely different approach. And that is something that, I mean, there aren't many pitchers out there in baseball that you're talking about 6 pitches that you believe in, that you throw with conviction in any count to just about any hitter. I mean, some guys are happy to, you know, master a couple of pitches and maybe try to mix in that third one. What he's doing, I guess, to really bring it home is unlike what many other pitchers in baseball are doing. It lends to his success. Throwing in the high 90s certainly helps, but I feel like the precision of everything is what puts him over the top. He's just an incredibly, incredibly impressive pitcher, and I'm excited to see him build on this start.
All right, Grant McCauley's with us. It's time to get Strider up. We just saw what he did today. What struck out like 13 to 21 batters. So let's go. What are we waiting for? Seen enough. Let's get him up.
Yeah, I think we could see him in Toronto. Tuesday would be regular rest. Maybe they give him that extra day and have him start on Wednesday. But talking to Brian Snitker before the game, he said, look, obviously the numbers look great. Snit watched most of that start today. He said it was, you know, vintage Spencer performance. He looked dominant, was sitting in that mid-90s, you know, hitting 97, pushing, I believe, up to about 98 at times. So he's got the fastball. He's throwing his slider, looked great, and he also threw a lot of changeups. So he is doing everything that you kind of wanted to see Spencer Strider do from an evolutionary standpoint, aside from the injury, and doing it very effectively. So I don't know if Spencer Strider's excited about it or fully happy with it. He never seems to be, because he always has that one more percent that he wants to be better. But you can't argue with those results. And if he's feeling good, I would be very surprised to not see him pitching against the Blue Jays next week.
So we matched our worst start since 2016 when we started 2-9, should I say, to take you guys back. And this is not going to happen this year. I'm just giving you some perspective.
Historical perspective.
Yeah, this is perspective. But we finished with 93 losses. Grant, we remember those days simply because the team was not where we are now. We didn't have the established stars. We certainly hadn't gone out and built a core. We didn't know what the young guys were going to be in this farm system, although there were high hopes. And that's why I say, you know, when people hit me up and like, this is the last time we started 2-9, 2016, guys, was part of the building process that got us to 18, which then gave us this incredible run of going to the playoffs every year and ultimately winning a World Series. I'm just saying this is not going to be the case this year. So when I hear you, and I get that from people, and I know you're probably getting all the historical stuff too, it's like, I get it, but that's not this team.
No, it's not. And when we looked at that, I mean, I know I've posted it several times, like, you know, worst starts in Braves history when they began 0-7. And, you know, you were wondering, are they ever going to win a game? Well, obviously the answer was yes. But it was a rough start to the season. I mean, Austin Riley said it today again. You know, we've really got to focus on the day, every day, add those up, and then things are going to start to get back to where we want them to get. But we can't get outside of what our daily goal is and our objective is every single day. But you know, the 2016 team was in the midst of a rebuild. Before that, the 1988 team was in the midst of a decades-long rebuild because the club just wasn't very good before the 90s. Then you had 1980, and I think you go back to 1940 and 1919. I mean, I wasn't around to see all those clubs, but I'm sure they weren't very good and their expectations weren't very high, to make a long story short. And that's the difference in this club. I can't explain why they have had the start that they've had, and you know, nobody expected it, but they've just got to roll up their sleeves and get to work and do it every single day. And that's kind of stuff adds up over the course of 162. As cliched and boring as the answer is, you know, panic is not going to help out. So I don't see anybody running around panicking. You have to maintain the focus and control the controllables. There's another cliche, but for the Braves right now, I think that's the kind of mindset they need to have.
No, it's funny. You know, the Babylon Bee does those parody accounts, and they had this story today, Carl, and Grant, that had a suite and said the Chicago White Sox offer a new suite with no window so fans don't have to watch the team. And then I laughed at that, and somebody goes, yeah, the Braves got the same record. Well, actually, the White Sox have one more loss, but point taken. Yeah, to me, it's like things will get rolling. We talked, and you'll hear the conversation with Paul Byrd coming up. Little things like getting Strider in here, and maybe Strider is that juice, that bounce, the energy that comes in and charges people up.
Yeah, it's going to mean a lot, because when you bring a pitcher who was among the best in baseball before he was hurt, and then when Ronald, who is going to go to Los Angeles early next week, and hopefully, the expectation is get checked off by doctors to do all the lateral movement, the start-stop, cutting and changing directions, and really ramping up his outfield work. Once those two guys get back, I feel like we're going to look at this team, it's going to feel different. It's going to look different and going to feel different. A lot of other guys need to stay healthy and be productive, but not too many clubs around baseball can expect to have a player who could be one of the best in the game, bar none, in Acuna, and one of the greatest pitchers in the game, if he's anything like he looked in his minor league rehab assignment in Gwinnett, which, yeah, I get it. It's AAA hitters, but Spencer Strider looked like vintage Spencer Strider. So there's some big returns that could pay major dividends for this Braves club and help them do what they need to do to get the season turned around and obviously meet their big goal of getting to the playoffs and winning series there.
All right, Grant, great stuff, man. As always, let's get one tonight and see where this thing takes us tomorrow, man. Great work, and we'll talk again.
Thanks. Sounds great. Talk to you then.
All right. It's Dukes and Bell coming up. Something happened at the Masters we need to tell you about. It's not just one thing. Actually, there were multiple things. But just a couple of guys left on the course, Mike, as day one is finishing up. We'll get you caught up if you're just getting in the car. However you're accessing the show, thank you for listening. But also, I thought you were joking earlier about Race Creek. I was like, there's no way this guy – he did do it.
Yes. We'll talk about it. When you got to go, you got to go. But, I mean, doing number one in golf's hallowed, most hallowed body of water.
All right. That's on the way. Also in the 6 o'clock hour, a potential first-round pick in hot water. Find out who it is next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.